Well, here we are, Fork Sports Highway, March 8th, in the middle of the tundra, the gloomy, cold, disastrous winter. Wait, maybe not. What a nice winter we're having. Tonight we're called, we got all kinds of headlines going on. Cat injured, Wild outside looking in. What else? Jake Paul's going to fight Mike Tyson. I hope Mike Tyson knocks the shit out of him. Four wins in Grafton going at it. 1-point game going into the fourth quarter tonight. And then the Grand Forks Bantam Blue won the state Bantams hockey tournament over Grand Forks Bantam Red out in Dickinson this last weekend. Kind of sounds like the state hockey tournament. The Grand Forks teams in the championship game beating each other up.
And so who do you know in the Bantam Leagues, Monty?
Well, good thing you had, of course, the legend Bill Deutsch over here with the question.
Yes, I have to say something.
And then, of course, we have the delightful Raven Carlson.
Hello.
All full of energy. Yeah, yeah. Recovered from all her bruises from falling down the mountain.
Oh, yep. Black and blue.
And then we got Dale Kulas in the house all night, too.
No, yeah. I missed you guys too much. I'm going to try my best to pop in here every great once in a while with you guys. How y'all doing today?
Wonderful, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so we got all that going on.
So you must have known some mom of a peewee player then, or Bantam. Or Mite or whatever.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Yeah, Grand Forks only has like 20 teams, and the whole state probably has 40. Grand Forks has half of them.
You sound bitter.
I just said they got a great hockey program.
Well, it doesn't matter what level either.
No,
I know. I know this because Caden Behnke. So Butch and Donna Behnke's grandson played Bantam Blues, and Sandy happened to be talking to Donna Behnke, and I heard this from the other room, and I said, "Wait, hold that thought. I'm going to write this down." So yeah, the Bantam Blues won the championship, state championship out in Dickinson over the weekend.
Isn't that nice? They got to go all the way to Dickinson for that.
Yeah, I wish I could go to Dickinson. Yeah.
That's got to be the two farthest points in the state from Grand Forks.
Yeah. If I'm going to somewhere in North Dakota, I'm going to Dickinson or Williston. That's my destination trophy spot right there.
So
could be Watford City too.
I think this is
might be better. Watford City.
Is this the first time the Blues have made mention on the show? I think this has got to be a first, right?
Well, I would
or first
say,
in a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Grand Forks hockey, and seems like all of Grand Forks hockey is doing really well right now for this season. That Red River team winning the championship kind of as the underdog. Central was the top dog. I know Raven liked that one.
Yep.
Especially when the wrestling guys come in here and start giving me grief.
It's fun.
I made sure to print off the state hockey tournament brackets for you guys last week. I figured, Raven, you'd get a kick out of that with your alma mater there dominating. So
I did. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I owe Raven one for. I felt so bad. I talked to the Red River Wrestling coach. I'm like, did you at least see where we gave you a shout out? And I'm like, we had the one Red River person there. She was outmatched. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. So well, shout out to James.
The Red River girls basketball team is playing in state right now, and they were winning their first game, and they are the number one seed out of the East.
Yeah, that Schiller girl is quite the player.
Right, and she'll be playing at UND next year.
They were talking about her on the Jack Michael show this morning.
Oh, okay.
And he happened to say something to the effect that he was driving along, and he saw the Red River athletes out running. Just cross country or whatever, and he happened to see her way out in front of everybody on this run, and of course she was, and he stopped and said hi to her or something like that. So pretty nice of him to.
Well, he was doing some game today. I think there was like a Class B game or something today or tonight.
Yeah, they did there was a game on.
There's districts or regions in the Class B boys.
Yes, I was listening to a game on the radio a little bit today, and then I kind of tuned out on it and went to common bed.
So is this like state tournament overload for you guys?
Heavy. It's hard to keep track of because of the new three-class system. And so some of them are done already, right? Last weekend.
Yeah, the girls.
Yeah. And now you got these tournaments.
The girls in Class A and Class B.
And so it's double A still going.
Okay, so then now this weekend you have double A girls and boys are playing in Bismarck.
Yeah.
And then the Class B boys are finishing up their regions to determine who is going to state, and their state will be next week.
And, yeah, we're watching a little bit before we started on the air here. I know Monty was one of your titles there. Your four wins basketball in Grafton tearing it up.
That was a big game going on. Like I said, opening up, it was a one-point game going into the third quarter with Deng Deng from Four Winds with four falls and a lot of action going on there. But the loser goes home.
I'll make sure to check in on and get you some updates here. Yeah, so many games going on.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah. So many tournaments, a lot of tournaments this weekend. Where would you like to take things, Monty, from here, from your titles?
Well, you also got Class A and Double A hockey in Minnesota, too, going on.
Never heard of it.
Oh, wow.
Do they play hockey in Minnesota?
That is one thing I wish I have gone to, and I haven't yet.
Well, we got Keith Cummings in the house up here, and I'm sure he's going to have an opinion one way or the other on that state hockey in Minnesota.
What up, Keith?
I'm not sure that they actually play hockey over there.
Keith is awesome about keeping up with the latest hockey scores.
I hate to say that the thought I had when I was watching it today is
How much better North Dakota is?
These guys.
I know where you're going with this, Bill.
These guys in Minnesota just skate a little bit faster for some reason.
This must be steroids.
I wish I could have the amount of time to keep up with as much high school sports as you two do. The most I did this past year was when I spent all day by pure accident in Fargo for all those state football games because I happened to be there for a car appointment that day. I'm like, oh, I'll watch state football and the Fargo do them all day. And it was great. I wish I had time to keep up the high school level.
And they were talking about that today, too, that the Minot team has some football players on it, too, that Minot boys and girls are both in the state tournament and played today.
Oh, basketball.
Yeah. There's a Conklin kid that's going to NDSU for football.
Well, yeah, I've seen stories on him already leading up earlier in the season, and Conklin is a pretty heavy sports name in Minot, like generational, kind of like Deutsches, like that.
I thought it was Conlins, and I thought they were a furniture store, weren't they?
No, I played against some Conklins up there back in the day. Yeah,
it's I. Keating's is a the great
the furniture store up there,
right?
In Minot, North Dakota. Like, what you got against Sweden there, Bill?
Yeah,
Sweden.
Last show,
or a few.
I actually caught Saturday's hockey game. I was actually able to go.
UND?
Oh, nice! Yep. Heck yeah!
Oh, you got to see the cup and all.
Oh yeah,
did you stick around and watch the skate around?
No.
Oh, really?
I should have, but
you know, I didn't know if they were bringing out the cup.
I didn't even know if they were bringing out the cup, though, because we waited for 10 minutes after the game, and they still wouldn't. And half the people poured out by the time, and I'm just like, I don't want to get stuck in traffic.
Yes.
So it must have happened after we left.
Especially when you parked in Thompson to start with.
Don't I know it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that... I went on Friday. I took the Rumors bus. Whenever I go, I take the Rumors bus. I avoid the traffic. Only $5. Yeah, I mean, what
a
weekend.
And then you get a free drink when you come back.
Well, I had to head home right away, so I gave my drink to someone else. But
man, what a waste of a drink.
But no, it's still a hell of a value. What's it out for you from the Saturday's game, Raven?
Well, I don't like parking all the way. Like, I had to park, what was it, 6 blocks away this time in a designated public parking spot, like parking lot, 6 blocks away. It's the first time because Tucker doesn't really watch the show. It's the first time I ever experienced having to park at the Ralph. He didn't like it. And he didn't believe me that businesses rent out the parking lots all around it within like a 2 or 3 block radius. He didn't believe me. So
private,
here we are
citizens
like,
too.
Do we need a permit? Do we need a permit? Do we need a permit? I'm just like, just listen to me. You ain't going to get a spot. So we tried to get a spot for like 10 minutes before we're just like, okay, screw it. Fine. And we still had to pay $10 to park 6 blocks away, which is astoundingly dumb considering it was a sold out game and every ticket, I guarantee you, was over $100.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were selling them online about $100 a piece for sure.
Yeah,
I got an upper deck ones.
I got like some really bad nosebleed seats, but I still saw the game great. Even the upper deck, you can see the game plenty fine. But it was like $30, but like $40 after taxes or so.
That's the modern day arena though. Mm. In the old days, the low nosebleed seats, you were like 100 miles away, and everybody on the court or on the hockey ice were like ants. You couldn't make them out even. But today's the more modern stadiums, and we're already talking to Ralph, you know, over 20 years old, but is built at such an incline that you're looking down rather than away. Target Center for many decades was like the worst facility in the NBA, because if you were in the nosebleed seats there, you might as well have been not there because you couldn't see anything.
Well, that was the Metrodome, wasn't it?
Well,
Timberwolves played in the Metrodome for a couple of years too, didn't they?
Well, the Metrodome, you know, God, I have a lot of great memories of the Metrodome and different games I was at there. But for basketball, terrible facility, yeah. Terrible.
They'd have some of the college.
They might as well have been in the Grand Canyon, and you're up on the top looking down.
Yes, I did not realize that Timberwolves played for a little while in the Metrodome. Was it just there until the Target Center was ready to go? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least a whole season, yeah. If wow. not more.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a couple of years or what it was for sure, but
they had once.
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where they played before the Metrodome then.
For Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think they
unless
did.
That's about when
I guess
they
I
came
always
in.
Just thought it was like 89. I think
yeah, the late
80s. Yeah.
Late 80s.
I thought it was when the Target Center opened. I always associate the Metrodome with the roof caving in from the snow that one year. Oh, poor Metrodome.
No, I always associate it with guys losing the ball in the ceiling while they're out in the outfield. Yeah. And they have,
it was worse for baseball, yeah. I think, than any sport.
Yeah. The ball's up there somewhere in that white ceiling. I can't see it.
But
it might come down and hit me in the face. I don't know. I'm standing out here with my glove.
But is it safe to say for the UND hockey games last weekend, would you say MVP goalie Ludvig Pearson just doing a phenomenal effort there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, what? The game you went to, Ray, well, that was a shutout, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That.
He was the Swedish MVP. I know that.
Swedish MVP? Well, I guess he's from Sweden, yeah.
I can't imagine. And Tucker actually brought up a really good point. I don't know how it is in Sweden, but I could probably imagine that hockey isn't, like, totally, like, big there.
Oh, it is. It is? Yes. Because it's a cold, cold weather region.
Yeah, well, it's like that, like, well, I guess Canada
Montana.
Is all about hockey, I suppose.
Well, keep talking. They're big into like, speed skating.
Speed.
I thought it was, like, sledding, like, Olympic sledding. Like
well, and ski jumping.
Ski jumping, yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't
like what
think
Raven
was
doing last couple weeks ago, ski jumping.
Yeah, like if I think of countries that I think like would be into hockey, it would only be Canada. Canada's the only one I could imagine that
I would
isn't.
Have to say Russia was probably one of the tops.
Oh, well, Russia too, absolutely.
In hockey.
But
it'd be crazy leaving a whole country to go play a sport somewhere else. Like I want to know what hockey was back there, honestly, because, like, being in the Rolf and playing there, could you imagine leaving a whole country and just, I don't know, I guess hockey's big there, but, like, it's just a whole other thing. Like, you're leaving everything.
Well, and over the years, you know, we especially when the girls' hockey was going on, Idelski, before they cut the program, had lots of like
European,
Finland, Sweden, Norwegian girls
It's huge there, and it's the NHL is littered with players from those three countries, besides Germany and Russia and everywhere else. But no, the European countries, not Spain or France. I don't know if I've ever seen a hockey player from either place. I've seen a few basketball players, but not many. But yeah, so no, hockey's huge in those Scandinavian cold countries.
Of course.
But yeah, on the Friday game I went to, Ludvig Pearson, well, that was crazy too, because even though UND won 5-3 on Friday, Western Michigan was on the aggressor. They had almost
third period.
Yeah, especially the third period. UND only had, I was looking at the shots on goal attempts, and in the third period,
they
only had two shot on goal attempts, and one of them was a lucky empty netter from halfway across the rink.
It looked like the game had turned.
Yeah.
It looked like Western Michigan was actually going to come back and win that thing.
But Ludvig Pearson, I mean, Western Michigan managed to make two goals in that final period, but just what Pearson was able to stop, because they were relentless coming at him, and he was stopping everything they were sending his way. And I was like, how is he doing it? It was a war of attrition, and he held up. So it was just a phenomenal effort. And just as much as you hate to see your team getting just, you know, that much thrown at him, he was able to hold him off. So and props to him.
And our guy Keith is up here. What did he say, Raven?
Let's hope they don't lay an egg when they go to Oklahoma. Oh, no. Or not Oklahoma.
Omaha.
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 Yeah, because you know, that would be typical.
Yeah, that's where they finished
but they've already won the conference anyways.
Well, I know, so they'll go down. It really doesn't matter. They go down there. It's a stat padding series. But Omaha will always play them like dog eat dog, because that was Dean Blaze was there for the inception of that program and the building of their stadium. And, you know, Omaha does end up with an awful lot of former UND sons. You know, they might not get the top-tier guys like we get up here or Minnesota gets, but they definitely get hockey bloodlines. And sometimes those bloodlines are better than the top-tier players. Would you agree, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it can come back to bite you when you don't pick those guys up. And
well, I think it makes a difference what UND does this weekend too down there, because I think Omaha could possibly get into the top 16.
Yes, they're.
And so I don't know if that's going to make a difference that they're the host team for the regions that are going to be in Sioux Falls. So UND might have to go somewhere else. But I don't think that.
But
I think Omaha is only going to be top 16, just barely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Omaha sweeps UND, that gets them in the tournament. Yeah. I would say.
Well, and I think they probably would maybe have to win the frozen face-off. Is that what they call it?
Well, I don't know. You know, pairwise though, beating UND would jack them up probably 5 points.
And then they already got the first round of the NCHC playoffs kind of locked in there by clinching the Penrose Cup. It's going to be best of three in the first round with Miami of Ohio and UND from March 15th through the 17th here at the Ralph.
Well, that's because Miami only has 5 points.
UND will take that home rink advantage.
Well, Miami is...
imagine how much tickets will go for that.
This is probably as down a season as they've had in quite some time.
Well, and that's where Ludvig came from.
Well, I know. I know. And I had actually... I crossed paths with a guy named Lyndon Johnson. I call him the president.
Okay.
He's from Hallock. And he caught me the other day, and he was asking me what my thoughts were. He knows we do this podcast, and older retired farmer up there, and he was asking me what I thought of Ludvig Pearson, if he's the real deal or not. And you know, he started out the season gangbusters, like the best goalie in the country, and then he had a lull where he lost, you know, he didn't start
last year.
No, this season.
Oh,
this season he sat out. They played the second string guy for about 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and it didn't work out.
Well, he played okay.
Yeah.
Colby Hedquist was the guy?
Yeah, Hedquist, that sounds right. Yeah.
And then Pearson, when he came back, he was sick.
So he still struggled. But now he's like found his form again. I don't know. Raven, what do you look like this weekend on Saturday?
Damn near perfect.
Yeah, well, it was a shutout, right?
Well, yeah. And I think that was his, I made a note of it, his fifth shutout of the season, leading the NCHC in shutouts. So
yeah, well, you know.
Just rocking it.
You can go back and it's more common nowadays to get a shutout, but past Sioux goalies, UND goalies, if you had five shutouts in a career, that was a big deal. And now you're getting them in one season.
And who were four or five seniors?
Last year?
No, this year.
Oh, I don't know. Well,
so who were the four? I think it was Ness was one of them.
Well, Pearson is.
And Pearson was one of them. And
you got some
Graber, too, or Gaber.
Yeah, Reese is. And then you've got a couple of those defensemen,
like Johannes, I think, or something.
The guys that transferred in here off that defense squad were all seniors, I think.
Okay.
But we got to do the ad.
Yeah, so, we're going to video ad coming up from our friends from Albatross Indoor Golf. Yep, go ahead and raise the middle up.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up, team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
Well, how about that? Bill, you said Ness, Person, Johannes, and Gaber.
Wow.
And Keith Cummings comes back with those same four guys. I don't know. I'm doubting you two, both of you. I how could you either one of you know this?
I'm not doubting. That sounds right.
There's a conspiracy.
We're a lot smarter than Monty, aren't we?
I'm not letting them have that. Is that
but
it?
Keith too. Keith,
yeah,
is definitely smarter than Monty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keith, looking forward to having you in the studio again here for a big old sports night bash.
So when is this happening?
Well, sometime down the line, I know Keith talked to him. It sounds like he's going to be here for another show here, I think, sometime in the coming month or two, and he's going to hang out afterwards and double duty and do the sports show too that night, I believe. So.
All right.
Did he get his money from the Super Bowl?
That's when he said he'll come by and get it. So, yeah.
Well, but, you don't think Paul's spent it?
Oh, no.
Wait, I put it on horses already.
Yeah, Monty blew it on horses. Yeah, he's like, ooh, horse racing money. No. Actually, we got to give a big shout out to Keith because he said he wants to use it for refreshments for the show. So we're going to get some pizzas again like last time or something. We'll figure it out.
And some Gatorade.
And a 64-ounce bottle of Coke for Raven.
Hey, now, you know me.
100-ounce bottle of no.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, we'll just get her a
sugar rush.
So it cannot be the last two weekends in April. Okay, I will be gone. Well, maybe just one. The weekend of the 25th in April can't be that one, Keith. Sorry, I will not be here that one.
Oh, always a blast with Keith in the studio.
Don't even give me that look, Monty.
You just deflated Monty.
I am allowed to have a life.
That's my birthday weekend. Where are you going?
To the Horse Expo in the cities.
The Horse Expo. The
Horse Expo.
Is your horse going too?
No. Honestly, I probably could have registered him for something, but with him being a mutt, they do a lot of breed shows, and it's very like you have to be one breed kind of a thing.
Or are you going to be competing in anything?
Nope, it's just me and Tucker going, Andy staying home.
In fan mode, take it all in?
Fan mode, yep.
So the horse's name is Andy?
Yes, that's my horse's name.
Why'd you name it that?
Because I had a list of names, and that's the only one that he liked.
He liked it.
He liked it.
How did you know?
Because I said them all out loud.
He smiled at you or what?
Yep.
You wrote it on his horseshoe, right?
Well, I narrowed it down to four, and I always knew that he was going to be ginormous. So I always thought of like the Andes Mountains.
Oh, there you go. It makes sense.
I say he's sweet as candy, but he can be a bitch like the mountains. So that's kind of where his name came from.
Makes sense.
Yep.
And where are the Andes Mountains?
I failed geography.
That's South America.
Yeah, isn't it Chile?
Keith, hey, hold on. I'll phone a friend. Keith, where's the Andes Mountains?
Chile.
I was guessing out in Scandinavia, so I don't know.
No, yeah, it is South America.
Well, you sounded pretty dang positive over here. So
oh, yeah.
If wherever...
Well, you got the two smart guys over here.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Saying South America. Yeah.
I don't know if it's South America.
They help build the mountains. That's why.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, Monty, where would you like to go to next?
Well, I suppose we better get to the Timberwolves.
Oh, gosh.
Still in first place. They fell out of first place by half a game to the Oklahoma Thunder here last week, but played well enough, even with a couple of losses, to fall back into a tie with Oklahoma, although they both are looking down at Denver one game behind them. And Denver is coming, man. I'll tell you, I thought by this time last week, Denver was going to be in first place. I think by this time next week, they will be. Joker is no joke. The guy can play. He's the best player in the NBA. Serbia, I think? Is that where he's from?
He's somewhere European.
And I don't know if you guys follow Gilbert Arenas has a podcast. And has quite a few followers, but his mouth runs nonstop, and he's a LeBron James jock-sniffing lover. He
must have had a hell of a week then.
Well, he says a lot of stuff that, I don't know if you know the backstory. Gilbert Arenas was, they called him Agent Zero. He wore number zero, and the guy could shoot the ball like as good as anybody that ever played.
Is he with the Wizards?
Yes, the Wizards. Yeah. And then he had the gun incident.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in the locker room, and I don't know if another player, and he had been gambling or what the deal was, and he came in there to collect his debt and brought a gun. And that got him suspended, and that's what he's most famous for, is the gun thing. Then when he finally came back from the suspension, he had the ACL tear. And never returned to the same player he was previously. He still jacked up a bunch of shots, but he was nothing near. And never got close to, like, if he played in any playoff games, it was maybe one series, you know, early exit. But here we got a guy that's got a podcast, and he's casting shadows on players that have actually championship rings and all kinds of things, you know, accolades he'll never achieve. And he's constantly popping off. And the big story in the NBA right now is that the rules committee has been instructed to figure out how to help the defense out. We're going to go back to playing defense, not all three ball and offense one trip after another. And Gilbert Arenas comes out and says, well, to fix the defense in the NBA, get rid of the European players.
That's quite the proclamation to make. Why was he all about singling them out?
Well, that's my point, though, is Jokic plays defense. Doncic plays defense. Detlef Schrempf played defense. Both Sabonis Senior and Sabonis Junior. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Raven.
Supersonic Steve!
Hello, hello from the West Coast.
Boy, she hit hello. That right on the mark.
Boy, that was top.
Yeah, that boy. She's been just giving me nothing but grief all night.
You started it.
Well, I'll admit that.
What's up, Imagine Supersonic? That.
Imagine that.
So I was just telling the people on the table here that about Gilbert Arenas and his podcast and how he proclaimed that, I don't know if you've been following or not, Steve, but the NBA, Adam Silver, came down with a proclamation that the rules committee in the offseason this year is going to be like
looking at ways to bolster defense in the NBA because they've done every goddamn thing they could possibly come up with to promote offense.
They don't play defense.
Well, Gilbert Arenas made the proclamation on his show that to fix the defense in the NBA, you need to get rid of all the European players.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, no, that's what I'm telling you, man, is that the European players are why the league is worth watching.
It is. You know, that would be that's a foolish statement right there.
Well, what's Gilbert Arenas most famous for?
Fighting.
The gun in the locker room.
Yeah. He's a gangster.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also a guy, oh, man, there's another story about Gilbert Arenas. And I forget the player that was on the show with him that challenged him. But Gilbert Arenas said he wanted to be a pimp. NBA player.
There you go.
Like as a serious life goal?
Yeah. And the guy sitting across from him told him he was a dumbass you-know-what.
Oh, boy.
For saying that.
Hmm.
And
was that on his podcast recently or like during his time playing?
During his time playing.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm so Gilbert Arenas is a fool. He's a fool with an audience.
That I kind of remember some of the loose talk from this past week about them wanting to crack down on defense and maybe giving hopes that they'll call traveling now. I remember that was one of the points they brought up and
palming the ball
and actually like giving incentives for the players to actually play defense in the All-Star game and. Yeah, because like this last All-Star game just was like a new low. This one you think you couldn't take it to a new low. Over 200 points in a game.
Well, 211 to 186.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the score because I thought it was going to be ridiculous to start with, and it was even more ridiculous than it actually ended up. And then why have an All-Star game?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, in the old days, even in the worst times, they coasted for three quarters, and then they actually played the fourth quarter intently.
Light it up, yeah.
You know, so somebody wanted to be MVP, somebody wanted to win. Nowadays, it matters not. They're all tapping each other on the ass, acting like they're going out to the club afterward.
Every now and again, they will play flashes of defense. And, Monty, I know you'll get – or everyone here should get a little enjoyment out of this that – don't like in last year's All-Star game, the one of the few times LeBron James decided to attempt to play defense, he busted his finger on the rim while trying to block a shot. So that was last year's All-Star game.
Is this the LeBron James we all watch?
Yeah, he got hurt playing
a flash of
defense in last year's All-Star game. And I guess he had quite the week this week.
He did. You know, last week I wore my Laker gear in here.
Monty, I had to do a double take when the show. I was watching the morning after, and you know, usually I listen to you guys on my Friday morning runs now, and I had a little sprain, so I was taking it easy last week. So I was like, I was actually watching at home last week, and I'm like, why is did Monty lose a bet? That's what I thought at first.
Time management.
Yeah.
Well, Bill said he could smell mothballs from across the table, he said. My stuff was so old.
It was definitely vintage.
Well, was it last century?
Well, hey, that's the only Laker stuff I have. No, the Lakers this week, though, after coming back from that 21-point deficit against the Clippers last week and LeBron with his 19-point fourth quarter, Supersonic, did you happen to see what the Lakers did last night?
Is that when LeBron left about 3.5 minutes before the game was over?
Yeah, about 4 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. How's that? Good teammate.
But first off, in the first half, the Lakers had a 19-point lead, and by halftime they were down 15. That's a bad team.
Yeah. I could care less about the Lakers.
Yeah, but if you have a 19-point lead and you give it up in the same half, that means nobody's playing defense for you either.
Or someone just giving up.
Well, I don't know. Did you see also that So Darvin, the I don't know who the anonymous source is. So some player on the Lakers is coming out and saying that LeBron is overruling the play calls that Ham is sending in.
I saw that.
Yeah. How would you like to play with that guy?
That's what I said. He's a terrible teammate, man.
I don't care how long he's played or what his accolades are. He's still a player, and there's a coach. If I was a coach, I would sit his ass all day long, every day. And at right now,
tell him to stay at home.
The way the NBA is running right now, and Adam Silver as commissioner, they're doing their damnedest to make sure the Lakers are a playoff team. They shoot more free throws than any team in the rest of the league by over 200 free throws for the season.
There's a big free throw breakdown comparison.
Is that true?
Yes, it's a huge gap. It's ridiculous.
200.
Yeah.
Holy.
It's not even close to the second place team shooting free throws. What do you think about that, Raven? Fixed or not?
No comment.
Oh,
Momani,
she thought all sports was fixed. I thought.
No comment.
There's certainly elements. If you want to get really nitpicky about it, there's elements where you can say where. Yeah, but that's a whole other story. But I guess speaking of our most favorite athlete of the show, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't note Monty said he has an accolade. He hit another accolade this week, Mr. LeBron.
40,000 points.
We could do this NPR style.
Okay, you could tell the story because it sickens me to listen to the guy that jacks up shots and bounces from team to team wherever the horizon looks best.
So, LeBron James, star of the vastly underperforming Space Jam 2 compared to its predecessor, became the first NBA player to reach 40,000 career regular season points.
That's a hell of a lead-in.
During the LA Lakers 124-114 loss to the Denver Nuggets, where LeBron James became the only player to hit 40,000 points. He did this feat in 1,475 regular season games. And later on in the week, as Monty noted, couldn't finish games after blowing leads for his team. But not in all seriousness, to be the only NBA player of all time to hit at least 40,000 points, that is a milestone.
And how many did Kareem do it in?
Kareem, I got 38,387 points. I don't got the amount of games, but it was like almost 20 years.
Well, Kareem actually played 22 seasons.
22 so seasons, yeah.
Played longer than LeBron?
At this point.
Yeah.
But the first guy to score 30,000 points in the NBA history was Wilt. And 31,000 points in 13 seasons.
And
13 seasons. If Wilt had
played, and they played defense.
If Wilt had played three more seasons, he'd have been at 40,000 points.
And those last few seasons, Kareem was kind of like a role player.
Well, yeah. And so was Wilt. In his last couple seasons, Wilt was only averaging like 13 points a game after averaging like 50 points a game.
And Paul bringing up a good comment in the chat there. Well, when you're the only one shooting the ball, that certainly helps. So.
Yeah, well, when the rest of your teammates are scared of you and your coach is scared of you because you overrule his plays, hey, wait, we're gonna drop a play and it's going to be for Anthony Davis. Oh, wait, no. We're going to drop a play, and it's going to be for LeBron James. Bill, did you ever call any plays for yourself?
I can't remember any sport? That happening.
Yeah, I bet you would not be playing. I bet if you changed the play in the game.
Bill, did you ever go into a huddle?
Quarterback could do that.
And go, I'm getting the ball. Yeah. No, we're throwing. I'm getting the ball.
Yeah, give me the damn ball.
No, that was Monty.
That was Monty. Yep, that was Monty.
I might have changed a couple football plays in high school, but I might have been drunk when I did it.
You probably did it in amateur league, too.
No.
Yeah, slow break or
old-timer. Supersonic, any trickery playing from your baseball days?
Let me think. More basketball, probably. But I grew up, kind of in the same Bill era that, your coach told you something, you kept your mouth shut, put your head down. And if I was to go against my old coach, he would have probably, first of all, he'd sit me down. Second of all, he'd probably have a little talk with me in the coach's room and give me his advice.
Yeah, I like that choice of words.
No. I my coaches were the kind of guys that were like screaming in your face, spit flying.
Yes, and, exactly. And that's advice.
And you didn't dare say something back. And I bet Sitchy was like that too, huh, Bill?
Well, yeah, you definitely wouldn't question him.
Yeah, I bet not. The one person you wouldn't question.
Oh, the one person. Yeah.
I
questioned my basketball coach one time when I was a sophomore, and I thought I should be this and that, and he thought it differently.
And it's kind of like Judge Judy, and Judge Judy does not answer questions. She asks questions.
Oh, gosh.
I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Yeah.
I need to see more Judge Judy.
Oh, God. How is she? Yeah, she's still on the air, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. Hats off to Judge Judy. Holy crap.
Well, Bill's got time to watch that stuff.
Oh, I watched that.
Hey, I just remember, like, many, many, many years ago, spending several summers on a farm with only, like, 5 channels of TV to watch. That was be, like, 2 in the afternoon. I'm like, guess we're watching Judge Judy again today. Yeah, 3 or 4 years there, watched way too much Judge Judy as a child. Oh, my God.
Well, but there were a lot of basketball games on today. Basketball and hockey, too, high school, so.
Yeah. Well, Monty, so many more.
So does the high school kids' teams get on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they
oh, for tournaments? Well,
for instance, I sat down one night. The New York Knicks were supposed to be on ABC playing the Golden State Warriors.
I know where this is going.
And I was all geared up to watch this, and it was the semifinals of the North Dakota State High School Hockey Tournament on ABC locally.
Kicked that other show right off the air.
Yeah, Monty, this takes precedence.
So I didn't get to watch the Knicks that night. And then the next time I went to watch them, another high school event bumped them off the national stage. So they played everywhere but in North Dakota.
Well, I'm sure they do it in Seattle or Washington too, don't they?
Well, I'm sure they do, but
just the championship game.
Oh.
Well, you know how the championship went around here. It was Grand Forks Red River versus Grand Forks Central
in hockey, but nobody cares about hockey.
Oh, they do.
Oh boy, back there, yeah.
And Red River won the championship, and I opened the show with the Bantam tournament took place out in Dickinson, North Dakota over this past weekend, and Bantam Blue beat Bantam Red in the championship game, 2 Grand Forks schools, way out west, like it should be. And, of course, UND...
they couldn't even beat Hallock.
Oh, they could beat Hallock, and they could beat Thief River, and they could beat War Road, and they could beat Roseau, and they could beat East Grand Forks, and they could beat Crookston and Thief River Falls. Take that, Minnesota. Now,
I think we might have hit a sore spot.
Monty's bitter.
No, it's just great. The whole region is great hockey, and we're Hockey Town USA. And now here, Dale, you know, Dale only comes in here once a month, and he's already doing the ad thing.
So, you missed it, Monty, right?
Yeah. Here's the ad.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
Well, that John Roberts sure has a good voice for ads, huh?
I didn't know they were going out of business.
End of an era, retiring.
They're not going out of business.
But he called it the going out of business sale.
What Raven? What are you going to do for SaaS now?
Trust me, I got SaaS.
Get a stock up. I was there earlier today asking what are the deals on all the shoes, and Chuck, I'm like, I'm going to have to stop in get me some nice shoes. But hats off to Chuck at Churchill Shoes. Monty, well, so many more topics to go from here.
Well, okay, so, Jake Paul.
Yes.
He's going to fight Mike Tyson July 20th.
Just broke earlier today, right?
Yeah, I hope Mike Tyson knocks him flat on his ass.
Honestly, this is just...
in 30 seconds.
Absolutely terrible. I hope... like, honestly, if I was Mike Tyson, I would never agree to be in a ring with that. I don't want to fuck up my career or my body or anything. Guy's 60 years old, okay? You're going to go up against Jake Paul. The only thing that's going to come out of it,
Hey, what's wrong with being 60?
No, I'm not saying anything's wrong with 60. I am hoping Mike Tyson kicks his ass.
Oh, I do too. I hope Jake Paul walks into one of those.
But the thing is he's going after a legend. Okay, so if he, I don't care what the whatever, Paul. But
Jake Paul, Paul Kornacki, same thing.
This guy is the same guy that made so like fun of like mentally handicapped people and like.
He was the one that did the Japan video, right?
Yeah. Like, guys, this didn't just disappear, okay? It's still this little prick, okay?
So Jake Paul was a TikTok star, right, before he was an athlete.
A YouTuber, whatever. Along with his bro, Logan, tearing up the wrestling scene right now. But, So it's worth noting Jake Paul's actually has a modicum of boxing skills.
I've noticed that. Well,
he's developed them. He won a fight last weekend in Puerto Rico, his ninth fight. He beat Ryan Borland. I actually watched a first round TKO. Ref stopped the fight.
Well, early on, most of the fights he had lined up were like handpicked opponents for big dollar amounts, and. You know, I kept expecting him to get his ass kicked by some of those guys, and it never happened. He was actually knocking him out. But he might have picked the wrong guy this time.
Well, you know, Mike Tyson.
I sure as hell hope so.
I'm with you guys, too. I would like to see Mike Tyson just, you know, I think he still has that ability to do like that
sledgehammer.
That sledgehammer first round killer blow he's been known for. But, you know, 58-year-old Mike Tyson, that's all he's capable of right now.
Well, didn't George Foreman do something similar to this, too?
Well, George Foreman.
At the end of his career.
Well, George.
Like in recent years? Or
when Oh, within no. the last 10.
10?
Yeah, there's constantly like
comebacks.
Bouts. And you know, boxers are historically unable to recognize the end and continue to fight. And if the payday's there, why not take it?
Well, you think he could just do it with one punch.
Well, and that's kind of what Big George did when he knocked out Michael Moore and was, 44 years old at the time, the oldest heavyweight ever to win a championship, or oldest boxer ever, really, to win a championship. But Michael Moore walked into a big punch. And
Foreman earned his way up the ranks to get to there, too, and he had like a real close decision fight with Holyfield just a couple years earlier before that.
Well, he had Holyfield on the ropes.
Yeah.
Holyfield was ready to go, and he couldn't quite put him away. But Big George's face was like a pumpkin when the fight was over.
True.
It was, too. Yeah. He took some punches.
And, you know, you talk about boxing nowadays versus what it was before, and that was kind of late era stuff. But the last Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier fight, I don't know, you know, the Thrilla in Manila.
Manila, yeah.
15 rounds. They don't go 15 rounds anymore. They go 10 or 12, maybe. And both fighters ended up in the hospital. And that's kind of unheard of, you know, where both guys are so beat up that they're hospitalized.
But yeah, it's, well, you know, you're talking about how Jake Paul is having these hand-picked opponents. That's how it was for Mike Tyson. He tried doing a series of, like, you know, exhibition attraction fights over the last, like, 15 years, like little three-round exhibitions or so. And, you know, a lot of them didn't go his way. Like, you know, he come out explosive that first round, hoping to get that first round knockout. You know, it wouldn't work his way, and then you'd see him just, it'd look rough for him in the later rounds.
So they don't really consider this Jake Paul guy an athlete, do they?
I think they actually consider, a lot of people are giving him credit for being, maybe not like a top-tier serious boxer, but like an actual, going toe-for-toe against legit competition.
Well, that he's actually putting in work to be a boxer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I think of his fights, I always think, in my mind, immediately what comes up is Le'Veon Bell and the Viking running back. Come on, our great...
Madison?
No, the Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And Le'Veon Bell actually had boxing training background before he was an NFL running back. So Le'Veon Bell knocks Adrian Peterson out in, like, round one. And, you know, Adrian Peterson is this tough guy, you know.
Well, who would be the toughest boxer right now? Boy, I mean, there really aren't a whole lot of bouts out there, are there?
I don't know. Because boxing lost its climb when all that MMA and
so
mixed martial arts stuff.
So people would rather watch MMA than
well,
boxing?
I'd rather watch two girls in bikinis beating each other up.
Daggers, Monty. You're getting daggers right now.
Didn't we go to some fights like that, Bill? Oh, it wasn't you. Bill wasn't with me. Who was with me? Who was with me?
He knows when to be quiet, okay? You don't.
I don't know. I had this, you know, initially I thought it was wrong, but when I saw these girls... scantily clad girls beating each other up, bleeding all over the place. I don't know. It was, I liked it.
It was entertaining. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know about your choice of verbiage there, Monty.
What? That was a funny family event at the Ralph Ames Set Arena.
Well, we watched about 10 rounds of guys, and then the girls came on, and I was like, huh, this is kind of neat.
It was a more interesting match.
Yeah.
You know,
like
Monty,
that, why are
you
shaking women's your head? Football, with a women's football league.
The lingerie league? Yeah, for a little while, I thought that was probably the best football I'd ever seen.
They got a team here, I think, in Kent or somewhere.
Oh, I thought you sponsor them.
Tyson Fury, that's right, Paul. In the chat saying most toughest boxer. Yeah, Tyson Fury's the guy I was thinking of.
How did you guys?
That's what I was.
Derail this like this.
But Mike Tyson's last fight was in 2005, where he threw in the towel after a seventh round, and that was like a year after he suffered a fourth round knockout against Danny Williams. So yeah, it's been almost 20 years since Mike Tyson's actual last professional fight, not including all those like mini exhibitions he did in the following years. So.
Or where he knocked the guy out in the Hangover movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, that was fun.
He knocked the tiger out too.
Yeah, and he knocked out the tiger. Oh man.
Anybody that can go after a tiger is...
Question for the table. What's your favorite Mike Tyson fight?
Mine?
Yeah.
The one in the Hangover.
Hangover.
I go back...
first Holyfield fight? Or not first, the one where they went the distance.
No. I was watching when he first won the belt. You know, he was the first guy to unify like the three major belts. But the first one he won, so it was the WBA, the WBO? No, the
WBC?
The WBC, yeah. And then the IBF. Oh, okay. And then WBO was kind of a lesser belt at the time. But the first belt he won was either the WBA or the WBC. And he knocked out Trevor Burbick. And Trevor Burbick was like a tranquilized animal.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever see the footage of that fight, Trevor Burbick was trying to fight him. And he was out on his feet. And he was stumbling from corner to corner. Like literally like a tranquilized animal. And then he finally went down. And I never saw...
Was he the youngest...
Yes, the youngest heavyweight champion ever. He was like 19 ever. Years old.
I got on here 20 years old when he won that title. Yeah.
Well, I think he just turned 20.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
But he knocked out Trevor Burbick. And then he followed that up with fights with a guy named Tony Tubbs.
Oh, yeah.
Knocked him silly, too.
Big fella.
Yeah. Tony Tubbs was twice his size and a boxer. Tony Tubbs went down just like everybody else did. He was knocking these guys out in the first three rounds. And then you remember the big hype of the Michael Spinks, Mike Tyson fight? And Michael Spinks was undefeated. Michael Spinks won a gold medal in the 1976 Olympics. Yes. And Michael Spinks fought as a light heavyweight, but then he moved up to heavyweight. And Michael Spinks actually beat Larry Holmes. And then he fought Mike Tyson.
How'd that work out?
Anybody remember how long the fight lasted?
Yeah, for refresh us, Monty.
Raven, you know?
I do not know.
First round.
You want to guess how long it lasted?
15 seconds.
Well, seconds is the right answer. 90. 90 seconds. Yeah. Half of the first round.
Yeah, but he looked tiny in there compared to him, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but
he's lanky.
Michael Speak could box, man. How about, well.
I always remember hearing about, as a little too young to remember, that's why the Holyfield fight stuck out for me where they went the distance in the 90s. I was probably just old enough to remember that one in its entirety. But I do remember as a kid being that. I don't remember seeing him, but like whenever Mike Tyson was fighting during his initial title runs, that it was like destination viewing. Like you got to see how fast he's going to win a fight, and like it will be one round or two rounds. And
I was at a horse race at Assiniboia Downs in Winnipeg at the racetrack, and at the racetrack they broadcast the Bone Crusher Smith Mike Tyson fight, and it went a full 10 rounds. Bone Crusher Smith hugged him the whole fight. He didn't throw punches at all. All he did was grab him and grab him and grab him and grab him. And Mike Tyson always preferred guys that tried to come out and throw punches with him. That at least you came to try to fight. Even if they were these white guys that he was knocking out in 15 seconds, at least if they came out there and were trying to throw punches, he appreciated that more than somebody that came in there and was just clinging to him.
And Mike Tyson also gets the just the distinguished feat of being one of video games all time's toughest bosses ever for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on the NES.
Well, it would have to be.
Yeah, we tried playing him on the video game show on GFBS, and yeah, he knocks you out in one punch, legit.
Well,
real life representation.
And I don't know if you follow the careers of boxers, and like Larry Holmes was like the Canton assassin. He started out as Muhammad Ali's sparring partner. And when Larry Holmes and Larry Holmes was not a knockout puncher, he was a technician. He would just hit you and hit you and hit you, jab, 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 and nothing you could do about it because he was so schooled. He was probably the most talented boxer, not a knockout puncher, but boxer that ever lived. And he was like the heavyweight champion for 10 to 15 years.
He was like a scientist on the mat.
Yeah. He never got hit, but he did all the hitting. But then he fought in his late career against Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson folded him up like a wet blanket. I mean, to watch a guy like Larry Holmes get knocked out like that, where his legs are buckled underneath him, it was a thing to behold.
Just like a big old wake-up call. Hey, this is time of the guard.
This was like somebody hitting you that you've never been hit like before in your life.
And I forgot to mention, too,
consistent.
this Jake Paul Tyson fight, this is going to be on Netflix. So you know, we're talking last week how Nadal and Alcaraz, that was the first last weekend, the first live sports competition to air live on Netflix, and this is going to be the third actually when this happens in July 20th. So Netflix continuing to dip their toes in live sports competition. You think they're kind of going to go all out, try and compete with like Amazon and like other Peacock for NFL, NBA games down the line if this continues to take off for them?
Oh boy, I hope not.
Gosh.
I imagine it will.
Yeah.
If they do, it's going to be the end of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Because everyone else is already doing it. There's no point in doing it.
If it's these like kind of attraction exhibitions, I think that's cool. Like that, you know, a specialty tennis exhibition with a couple of greats.
It's hard to say because boxing has always had that pay-per-view kind of quality to it, where if you really wanted to see them, you would have to pay for it. It wasn't on network TV. I mean, the earlier fights were, but when they were at their top of their game, the Don King and his Bob Arum, those old-time promoters, it was a pay-per-view thing where every successive fight was a higher gate.
Amount, yeah.
And, you know, it was like, well, the last one was $30 million, the next one was $60 million, and it was $90 million. And that Tyson... Michael Spinks fight was a pay-per-view thing that people were so pissed off. They thought he took a dive.
Oh, for the short one, yeah.
Yeah, the 90-second fight.
Yeah.
And they had shoveled out all this money to see it. And it literally, it started and, you know, it wasn't 10 seconds in and Michael Spinks was down on his knees already from a belly punch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go down on a YouTube binge for this to track this down.
And then so he got the count. So we're still talking, the time is running. And then he gets up and he gets knocked flat out where he almost falls through the ropes.
Oh, gosh.
But when he got knocked out, he was throwing a punch. At least he was throwing a punch. You know, he got up, came out of that, and he threw as long a punch as he could throw, and then he got clocked. Mike Tyson and those little uppercuts inside.
Mm.
I would hate to get hit with one of those.
They hurt just watching.
Yeah.
Well,
and he would do the uppercut, his left hand uppercut. First he would hit you in the stomach, and then he would come up and follow it with one to the jaw. And most guys couldn't recover from it. British boxer Frank Bruno fought Tyson a couple of times and lost to him both times. But he was a big, tough, cut athlete, and Tyson just chewed him up like he did everybody else.
Well, Monty, I'm sure we can go on about Tyson for a while here, but I know you got a bunch more topics on your agenda for the show.
Well, we had the Four Winds Grafton game that was going on.
Oh, I'll get you an update on that.
Did we get a winner?
Yeah, one season's over, the other one goes on. And, you know, of course, we try to plug the Four Winds guys. They were down one going into the third quarter last we saw.
All right, I got an update for you here.
In Grafton, that's a basketball school, isn't it?
All right, final
is that a hockey?
Final score for... Well,
they've had their success in basketball, too.
Final score for the Grafton Four Winds basketball game. Four Winds, 62. Grafton, 70.
Ooh, Four Winds is done. So Deng Deng better get his receiving skills together for UND.
I guess.
He kind of ran out of help, though. The teams figured him out that let's all collapse on him and nobody else is going to score 20.
I think I saw a game that had United Tribes and... You know those guys that were in the studio that night?
They both play there.
Yeah.
Jacoby Pearson was like named player of the conference.
Oh, was he?
Last week. Yeah.
Okay.
The guy with the deep voice. Were you in here, Raven? We had those boys in here?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So Jacoby Pearson has a voice like Barry White.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I remember you giving him grief. Yeah.
As I said, I said, I bet the girls' pants fall off when they talk to you.
I remember his look he gave you when you said that.
He didn't know what I was talking about. He's too young. But, yeah, Barry White.
So do you know how they did on their season then? Or
I think they're doing pretty well. And now that you brought that up, you know, back we had John Berryhill, the guy that puts on that tournament out west with all the Indian right. teams. Both his daughters, well, his daughter was Adam's recruit,
right?
Your son-in-law, and
they were at Wahpeton, or they're still at Wahpeton.
Yeah, well, the one is, and apparently they're still playing.
Well, I thought I saw that the men's team took first too. And then I saw, I don't know where I see these games on, but
I wonder. I think you dream them sometimes.
There's a Dakota College, they call it,
in
Botno.
Well, I don't know that.
And they're a junior college, so they play the Mystiques from Bismarck State College.
Oh.
Yeah. They were on this week, too. And
you were watching
They have a green floor. Almost completely green, with just kind of highlights of the natural wood color in there. So I was kind of looking to see if maybe some of those tribe kids were playing on that team. But I'm sure they're going to be moving on somewhere else.
I suppose. I
remember hearing how Bonneville had a school. Yeah.
Well, of those kids, the Yankton kid with the glasses that was in here, was more of the star of the team, and Jacoby Pearson was more like his sidekick. And I think right now Pearson's, because he's a little bit taller, he's about 6'4",
mm-hmm.
is starting to develop more. He actually started out at Bismarck State.
Okay.
And then he transferred over there.
That's some Mystiques.
Yeah. And so he's been doing better over there. But I just love the fact that those boys are still in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing to me is that, you know, it's one thing to play sports. It's another thing to stay in school.
Yeah, and then come out of school with a job.
Well, a degree. Yeah. Anyway. A degree. I don't care what it's in. You got your school paid for and you made the most of it. That's what I told those boys when they were here. Remember that? I said it's one thing to play sports. It's another thing to do the academic end of it, because I've seen so many guys wash out because they don't keep up the grades. So, yeah, Bill.
And then up playing amateur league with Monty.
Beer league.
Exactly. Yeah, they're playing with me, getting their asses kicked by my old ass.
We probably have to talk about UND basketball then.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got it, because there, Dale, I'm turning it on you.
Okay. So UND Hoops, they wrapped up their regular season play last weekend. Bill, I caught highlights of some of the games there and recapped. I wasn't able to make it to any. I'm cursed when going to the – I went to 4 UND Hoops games, 2 men's, 2 women's. They lost all the games. I can't go to any Hoops games in person. I jinxed them. Did you catch any?
Well, I caught a few over the year, but not as much as any other sport. But I know that the girls ended up in either second place or third place, and so they're going into the Summit League.
I was surprised they made it in there, but I guess if you're just looking at their conference record, they were able to sneak in there.
Yeah, so both the teams play on Sunday.
I think it's Oral Roberts. The women are playing in the Summit League tournament, right?
But the women are third. No, the women are sixth.
Yeah, the sixth seed, yeah.
So, as I say, they're going to have a tough match against Oral Roberts.
Because isn't Oral Roberts 3 seed?
Yep, they would be the 3 seed. And then it's just the other way around. UND men, I think, you've got some notes on
it.
But I think UND is actually 3rd seeded in the men.
And they're
so they would play the 6th. And they stay out of the bracket that has NDSU in it and also South Dakota State.
I was able to I watched their opening round. They had the games on ESPN Plus for the Summit League Conference last season. I was able to keep up with them. And I remember the men, they were ranked lesser than the UND women at the time. They had a surprise first-round win. And I'm like, all right, this is great. I'm going to watch them in the second round. But they were so outmatched in that second round. It was just, oh.
Well, I think they can give anybody in the league a game this year.
Way better, well-built team this year.
Oh, yeah.
I
actually think they have a chance to go to the big dance.
Oh, it's 60. It's 68? 68. 68.
Yeah.
With the play-in games,
And UND definitely has a chance to go there. So the winner of the Summit League playoff end up going to the...
Earning their way in.
Yeah, they'd probably be a 14th seed or something. Yeah. And
hey, they'll take it. They'll take it.
With a really good team that they have to end up playing.
Well, just to get the exposure, though,
yeah.
Whether they go anywhere or not is always good. Both, you know, NDSU's had that shot in there. The women, UND women, had that chance to go and did their thing. And, well, even the South Dakota women went way deep last year.
Yeah, it's good to see some Dakota representation in the big March Madness.
South Dakota State's the favorite right now, but there's like four teams. But aren't there, Bill?
I alerted Monty to that Alabama was playing, so I watched your Nelson boy.
Well, Bill, I didn't go to the Journey concert because Alabama and Tennessee were playing at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
I saw it the next day or something when they were playing. They were playing Florida.
Tuesday. They got their butts kicked.
Yeah, and he looked... a little weak compared to those guys.
I didn't say that.
So he
in the Tennessee game, so Tennessee and Alabama were basically in a tie for first place in the SEC going into Saturday night's game, mm-hmm. which was a big game Saturday night. That's why I wouldn't go to Journey and hang out with you
partiers.
Posers.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I stayed home to watch.
Posers or posers?
I stayed home to watch that game, and Grant had two falls like in the first 3 minutes and was in foul trouble the entire game. So he was on the bench damn near the whole game that night, and they lost by 7 to Tennessee. Both teams were ranked. One was like 14 and the other one was like 7, something like that nationally. And then they played again Tuesday night against the Gators of Florida. And that Grant actually had a pretty good first half in that game. And guy was diving on the floor and getting rebounds. And then he got some fouls again. And
well, then there's a possibility that they could be playing the Summit League champions.
Really? Come tournament time?
Yeah.
Well, they'll beat those guys.
Well, because so is
that the kid that transferred from North Dakota?
North Dakota State, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Devil's Lake. I used to run around with his dad and get really partied up. Yeah.
What's he forward?
Well, he's 6'10". Yeah, he's a power forward, but pretty skinny kid. Really great ball handling skills. Can shoot the three. Plays hard, but he gets bumped around.
So that Summit League
champ.
How big
is he? I mean, what's he weigh?
I would say he doesn't weigh more than 200, 210 at the most.
Yeah, he needs to get bigger.
He will. He will.
Yeah. But what grade is he?
He's a junior.
I think he might be a senior.
He played two years at NDSU.
Well, maybe he's got a COVID year.
Well, it could be.
Well, get him in the weight room.
His little brother is currently playing for the Devil's Lake team right now.
Oh. I know I did want to give a shout out to a final one for the UND Hoops to Casey Borowitz, finishing the season, becoming the fourth UND woman hoopster to achieve 2,000 points. So from the two UND Hoops games I saw in person, she really stood out the most. She's above and beyond their marquee player. She shows incredible poise on the court. She's totally in the game. And like it was just a couple weeks ago, she 40 points in a game. Hell of a performance.
Well, I think three times in her career, I think.
Yeah.
And when you say poise, I just think of Raven.
Just kidding.
On the ski lobes, ski trails, straight down
it
the mountain.
It was not a pretty sight.
I wish we'd had
pro some, skier, yo.
We should have had some video.
Oh yeah, GoPro first person cam.
Oh gosh, no.
Making her boyfriend go get her skis while she's laying up on the hill and crawling back to her with them.
Yep.
What the hell? You know, you don't go back up the hill.
Well, he sure did.
Oh, you better
good stuff.
You better
Tucker.
But yeah, UND men will be facing Omaha. This Sunday at 8:30, and UND women will be facing Oral Roberts this Sunday at 3:00. So yeah, those are your Summit League games for UND this weekend. But
and those would be on Midco.
On Midco, I'm going to see if
they're
on.
I bet you they're on ESPN.
Yeah,
too.
That's how I don't know. contracts are always changing. I'm going to hope to try at least catch one of them this Sunday here. So, but yeah, go UND Hoops.
Yeah, they usually finish them up like Tuesday or Wednesday night, because then they kind of, it's a big deal because all the conference tournaments are all going on at the same time.
Gosh, it's got you're probably in basketball heaven then, huh? Keeping up with us.
It's hard to keep track of all that stuff.
Because you got the high school stuff just going on now, and then you instantly the college conference, and you got March Madness. So is this probably like your like this whole month block is like, would you say your favorite month for the year for sports?
Also the hockey, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hockey tournaments on top of it, yeah.
So, well, the UND ones are the college. The Minnesota. The Frozen Face-Off.
And in high school.
And yeah. Regions. And,
yeah.
Well, and then the Frozen Four comes after that.
Well, so the Frozen Face-Off for the NCHC postseason tournament is in St. Paul at the X.
This year it is.
And then the Frozen Four is also at the X.
Yes, it is this year.
You plan on going down there?
Well, I'm
sure you'll be there. I know that.
I don't have a ticket
yet, but you will. I know you will.
Gosh.
Boy, it reckons back to the days when we used to go to those games, and the last time they were down there.
You'd get kicked out of all those bars?
That was your daughter's
friends. You sound like guys I hung out with.
That was your daughter's friends, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Whitney, are you still out there?
So what were the names of some of those bars that...
Looks like we had a comment in the chat.
Tom Reed's bar.
Well, Tom Reed's bar, and the one though where Cassettes. All the action took place at was like, I want to say McGuire's, but that's not right because that was a Grand Forks bar. The one right next to the motel down there.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, was it McGovern's?
Yeah, that's the one. McGovern's Bar. That's the one.
Keith would have had that.
That's
one.
Where all the
Keith
shit.
Knows.
Yeah. That's where Bulldog was at.
See a comment from Billy in the chat saying NHL trade deadline tomorrow. You guys keeping your eyes on any trade?
Well, who's that, Billy Guerin up there?
Billy Schletter.
Oh.
Well, there's been trades already. I did see.
Some wild guy just got released or traded somewhere back to Colorado or something.
Well,
when I was coming today,
I want to say is Zach Parise playing for Colorado?
That sounds right.
And I think he's playing really well out there. Like we're 20.
And I don't think Taze is playing at all.
Well, he had some like head injury or something.
Yeah. But then Kane did come back and play. Kane's playing with Detroit.
All right. So
Wild traded Brandon Duhame to Colorado Avalanche.
Keith Cummings. So Parise is playing for Colorado. Keith Cummings confirms that. Keith Cummings also says he knows all the Twin Cities bars. And so McGovern's. And so what's the one in the Holiday Inn Motel down there, Keith? You remember that one? Raven?
I don't remember that one.
You know the St. Paul ones too, Keith, or just the Minneapolis ones?
I think he knows them all.
He knows all the ones around
the X.
Is that the player you're thinking of, Bill, that got traded from the Wild to Colorado? Yeah, is it Brandon Duhame? I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But so there's a trade there. Monty, I think we're due for our final ad break here of the show. And
well,
it'll be...
I said that Raven has to do that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the grief she's been giving me, I said that was going to be your thing tonight.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. I'm sorry.
You have a long day today?
I did have a long day today.
Ha.
So make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie that you are attending. Some of this week's features attractions are Dune Part 2.
Paul's movie.
Hey, that movie kicked ass. That was a hell of a movie.
Chosen Season 4. Ordinary Angels. Demon Slayer. Drive Away Dolls. Bob Marley, One Love, Madame Web, Argyle, The Beekeeper, Migration, Wonka, and Anyone But You. Find the complete showtimes online at River Cinema 15. And don't forget Tuesday, $5 movie specials all day long. And the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesday and Thursday. Monty's going to that one. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated.
So from weeks going forward, I want to know if you folks out there would rather hear her or me do that ad.
Okay. I honestly thought I was
a no-brainer.
I was going to butcher that.
No, you know what? You don't count Supersonic Steve. We already know what side you fall on.
You've done it about 20 times, and she did it once.
Yeah. She did a good
job. No-brainer.
Yeah. No,
so how long has she been holding it?
And when Sandy comes in, Sandy does a lot better job.
Well, yeah, she's done the ad too, hasn't she?
Yeah. She has. I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to dislike you guys a little bit.
Looks like Paul has some news he's sharing here. Raven, you got the scoop here?
Yeah, apparently a girl's trying to break a world record right now for planking. This girl has been planking for 4 hours.
So who's this?
20 minutes.
Oh.
Are we supposed to know what a plank is?
Yeah, but this girl looks like a transformer, okay?
Do you a plank?
Oh God! Maybe for 10 seconds.
Paul, the length of the time of that plank you just mentioned there has me questioning the credibility of that source.
No.
Oh, okay.
This girl was
just the time you mentioned.
This girl was built. If anyone's gonna break it, I bet that
she's got some muscles.
Yes,
muscles. Oh man, that's awesome! Heck yeah.
That's a big number.
I'm thinking methamphetamine.
Boy.
I don't know.
I wish I could see that.
What? Raven gives me the look again. Well,
We're down to our final 10 minutes or so here.
Steroids, maybe?
I don't think meth is the one that builds muscle. I think that's like...
Makes you clean the house to beat hell.
I don't know.
It's a Goo Goo Gaga one. That's what that is.
Well, what do you got over there, Dale?
Down to our final 10 minutes. Last topics you want to hit up?
Well, I already talked about Lynn Swann turned 74 today, and Dale seemed to know he'd heard of him. I don't know. Supersonic, you ever heard of Lynn Swann?
USC, yeah. I've heard of him.
Oh, yeah, USC. Boy, look at you.
Yeah.
What's with this?
You're like Bill. You're like Bill over here.
What's this ESPN anchor, too? Chris Mortensen?
Oh, yeah. Tragic story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cancer?
Yeah. Chris Mortensen.
Yeah.
Well, was he still... like broadcasting?
Yeah, up until about a year ago, just under a year ago when he finally took time off.
Yeah, no, he's one of those names that fits right in there with those guys that from the beginning of the, you know, way back in the day. I don't know, we're talking early 80s, I suppose.
Well, I did a little research on him when ESPN did a bunch of touching tributes for him. A lot of the anchors there just had nothing but great things to say about him. But no, yeah, he succumbed to stage 4 throat cancer. I wish I was, I read this newspaper was around, but the All Sports newspaper, Bill, I'm sure you guys could probably tell me stories about the National, the daily sports newspaper.
Yeah, it came out on tablets.
Yeah, it's...
Like Moses.
But, yeah, he was writing for that before joining ESPN in 91, where he was, I remember him doing a lot of the football coverage. He was one of their primary football anchors, a confidant of Peyton Manning. He helped broke the news that he signed with the Broncos and broke Peyton's retirement announcement. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2016. I remember him being one of those mainstays on ESPN football coverage there. So, and yeah, I was looking at tributes and the sports press from the last couple of days, nothing but just glowing things to say about him.
Yeah. So all these guys from back in the day that used to be the ESPN guys are all passing away. And Keith,
well, they were all getting fired, though, too.
This is a different deal. This is cancer. This isn't like a layoff.
No, but we had Stuart Scott.
Well, yeah. Another
that
tragic
was
there.
Cancer,
yeah.
ESPN guy. And
Levant,
so,
Jimmy V.
So all the great the ones that were really fun to listen to, but yet a guy like Keith Overman still lives. Anybody got a gun?
Dick Vitale.
Well, yeah.
I don't like Overman.
No, Overman went like off the deep end there for a while. But anyway, you in the midst of your report there, Dale, you brought up the Broncos and released Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, they announced
big news.
Yeah, they can't officially release him until the official NFL season begins for the at least the off season management moves are allowed to begin in March. The Broncos said they are going to they notified Russell Wilson that they'll release him in March officially, but they gave him permission to talk to other teams. And we're kind of talking a little bit before the air.
Isn't the problem though is when they release him, they're stuck with like $80 million or something?
Well, it's 35.
I got that. Yeah, this release will cost the Broncos $85 million in dead money, breaking the Atlanta Falcons' $40.5 million dead money record when they traded Matt Ryan. So,
but they can trade him to somebody else, and they can pick up a certain part of that salary, but they won't have to pick up the whole thing.
Well, all I know is the Vikings better not touch that.
Well, that's what I
don't want. Yeah, Russell Wilson was just so all over the place and not in a good way for the Broncos.
Well, and Supersonic, you know better than us. You saw this guy in his final career.
You know, when he first came in,
he was king shit.
Yeah. Won a Super Bowl.
Third round draft choice out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin. He came in and kicked. You know, he did a really great job for about the first 4 or 5 years, and then he got too pretty.
Well, did he marry a model or something?
Yeah, and then Sarah. All of a sudden he had to have his own office and his own dietitian and a trainer and all this. And a lot of the players, resented him for that.
Could you tell from, his last year or two of Seattle that, he was – he was tapering off in skill level, or?
Yeah, I think so. And I think our GM and the head coach realized it, and they hosed Denver. I mean, they got some big, that was probably one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL for Denver.
Yeah, and they do talk about that when they talk about the worst trades in the NFL history. That's one of them. And, of course, they start off with Herschel Walker to the Vikings.
Right.
That's where it all starts. But Russell Wilson, the big talk has been either the Vikings or the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I heard Pittsburgh. I hadn't heard Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota, if they don't re-sign Cousins.
And they keep saying he's going to Atlanta.
Yes, and but Kirk Cousins has golf memberships, and he's really settled into the Twin Cities.
They probably have golf courses in Atlanta too.
You're so such a pessimist, Bill.
I'm starting to get the early vibes. It just started sinking in today that they're making it sound like there's no way.
You always side with this guy.
Yep.
There's no way Kirk Cousins is going to stay in Minnesota, but I'm thinking we're going to get a situation where what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo's last year in San Francisco, where no one wanted him to stay, but they managed to negotiate a last-second deal for him to be the backup to a new rookie, and then the rookie goes down in the first or second game of the season with Trey Lance in that scenario, so you end up stuck with Kirk Cousins as your starting quarterback for one more year.
And they're at a point right now where they're stuck no matter what they do. Didn't they not just sign Justin Jefferson to $30-plus million?
No, they haven't signed him yet.
Oh, they didn't get him to sign, huh?
They did release the running back Alexander Mattison, though, earlier this week. Yeah.
And he lives right by Katie, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Alexander, Katie's Bill's oldest daughter, swimmer, athlete, too, like all those Deutsches. But Alexander Mattison was a great second back. He was never meant to be the feature back. And they've stuck him in that spot this season when they got rid of Dalvin Cook. But God, good thing, because Dalvin Cook did squat all season long.
I got something I got to throw out there, too. I heard some stuff.
You know what? Anytime you say that, Bill, it scares the hell out of me.
Okay. You know, everything is all about the Kelseys, right?
Yeah.
And we got Travis and we got Jason.
You know who those guys are?
Stop it.
Well,
are you going to talk Taylor Swift? Are we going to get there yet? No, go ahead.
Anyway, Jason Kelce was... You know, preparing for the draft, and I think he's been in the league for probably about 10 years, 12 years, something like that.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys said they wouldn't draft him because he tested positive for marijuana.
Not a Kelce brother.
Well, I mean, this was kind of hard for me to believe. I mean, that isn't the type of guy that you think would be – smoking up a whole bunch of marijuana. But him and his brother both went to school in Cincinnati. And I think he was actually, from what I heard, they said he was suspended for a year.
Huh.
Before he started his career with
Philadelphia. Well, I don't know. You announce your retirement, and then you show up shirtless at a playoff game for your brother.
He's really excited.
I'm thinking maybe some drug use is going on.
Well,
hey, it could have just been booze. Super excited. They definitely show
Dale.
They show cuts of Taylor plenty of times, just putting those drinks down. Who could say that Jason's up there enjoying some beverages as well? So just throwing it out there.
Sure, they are.
He was definitely entertaining.
Yes, his celebrating up there during the whole postseason. Oh my lordy!
I mean,
drug use, Raven. What do you think?
So we're about done.
Yeah,
right?
Gosh,
yeah. I don't want to open that can of worms.
Yeah, Monty, that's
last week she shut us down.
That's Monty. I got a couple of last Ocho Sports thing.
I do have one last note.
Go for it.
And Ben Simmons, power forward, quintessential all around player, playing for the Brooklyn Nets. He's out with another back nerve issues in his back, and
is he Australian too? Is that
yes?
Some of his problems.
Yes. Okay. Some of his problems.
Anyway,
he is out for the season now, and since he was traded from Philadelphia, he sat out a whole season in Philadelphia with health issues of some kind. He managed to show up to the games wearing the most fashionable clothes and most gaudy camera grabbing outfits of any player that's ever lived. But he's been doing the same thing in Brooklyn. He was traded for James Harden. And since he arrived, he's played 57 games of a possible 190.
So that was load management. A good trade?
They're paying him $40 million a year guaranteed. And the guy barely freaking plays and has barely played. In the last 5 years, he has got to be the most paid. Bobby Bonilla is the only
guy getting
paid more money than this guy for not playing.
Oh gosh,
and it's he's 6'9". He's got all the talent in the world, but he can't shoot the goddamn ball. How do you get to be like that?
He's like the Shaq, but for just all around shooting instead of free throw shooting.
They would leave him wide open, and he wouldn't take the shot. Hmm. I don't care if you're blind, deaf, and mute. Shoot the goddamn ball. If you're open,
that's what you get paid for. That's what you can pay.
Yeah.
We're not out there. You gotta put it in the hole.
Use one hand. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Bill. Before I go, chime in my couple of things here. Bill, Raven, Supersonic. Any last things before we wrap up with my silly anecdotes?
I got my.
Keep an eye on my Cougars. They play tonight.
I saw them play at USC.
Yeah,
I saw some of that game.
They got a good team. I mean, a team.
I was kind of looking for that LeBron kid, though. I was looking for Bronny more than anybody else.
Yeah, well, he didn't show up.
Well, I thought imagine he was playing, that. Wasn't he?
He played about half a game.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant he didn't even show up.
He's NBA ready, though.
No. No. He's not ready. He's ready. Not ready for prime time. I'll tell you that right now. Even though LeBron says he is.
No. And he's already backing off that. Remember, like, last week when LeBron had the comment about let the kid be a kid?
Oh, yeah. So he's changing his tune.
Yeah, because his kid isn't shit. Compared. And so many pro athletes' kids weren't shit. I mean.
Exactly.
Dwayne Wade's kids wearing a dress. You know.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Magic Johnson's kid is gay. They're not athletes. And I don't know if that comes with, like, growing up with all the money you could never spend. I don't know. What do you think, Raven? You gotta put on a show because you have too much money? I don't know. What is it?
Stupidity. They never had to struggle in your life or in their lives. They really never had to struggle. Struggling builds character, and they have none.
There you go. See, I knew we were going to get a Raven.
That's a really damn good point. Overcoming adversity.
It is.
Yeah.
Very well said.
No, it's really sad because this entire generation has absolutely no character. So what do you get when you have an entire generation that doesn't know left from right, that doesn't know the difference between boy and girl, and they never had to work hard for freaking anything?
That's what I was looking for.
It's the whole reason I'm never having kids.
Ooh.
Never. Because this world is dog shit.
All right, Dave.
All right.
With that.
Wow.
I knew we were going to get at least one Raven Bomb tonight.
I don't think I could top that. But Raven Bomb. We need a sound effect for that. So like a little explosion or something.
Can't disagree with her.
We need a little explosion, a little animation. Yeah. Yes,
you guys have a good one, and you take care, and we'll talk next week.
Yes.
All right, Supersonic. We enjoy you.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I guess I got a couple of my dumb little Ocho Sports things. I will say I saw Sting's final match. He ended his career big retirement match at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. The man's 60 years old. And he went through a panel of glass. And
60?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They're always toughest at that age.
It was a ridiculous over-the-top match. Him and Darby Allin teamed up against the Young Bucks. But it was a very fun watch. Hats off to Sting for his legendary career. Just a couple quick motorsports notes that we got to give a big, big shout out to Donnie Schatz.
I saw that too.
Won his 500th sprint car feature race at the World of Outlaws last weekend at Volusia Speedway. 500 wins. Holy hell. 312 of them with the World of Outlaws. And then F1 had.
Gonna be next week.
Yeah. He is going to be in the studio next week with his two nieces on Dirty Thursday. So big get here a week from today on Grand Forks Best Source. Tune into Dirty Thursday with Donnie Schatz and Amelia and Layla Eisenshank. So yeah, big interview for next week. And then yeah, F1 had their kickoff race of the season last Saturday at Bahrain. No surprise, Max Verstappen. Continuing his dominance, 22-second victory over the second place by his Red Bull teammate Sergio Perez, his 55th win of his career. Interesting early spinouts. Valtteri Bottas and Logan Sargeant ran some early trouble. They rounded off the back of the pack. Highlight of the race was Yuki Tsunoda freaking out at his crew chief when he ordered him to let his teammate pass when he was on the verge of passing Kevin Magnussen. And yeah, that was a little. And then one of the teams got a new livery. Their color is like bright neon green. Kick Sauber. They're the team, and they just have a cannot miss look to their car colors. But yeah, their next race is a Saudi Arabian Grand Prix this weekend. Those are my odds and ends here to wrap up my Ocho Sports.
Well, William, you got anything else?
No, I'm all out of material.
Well. Raven, you want to read this one too?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Monty, you can. Thanks, that's Monty. That's only how you can do it, Monty.
Okay. Well, I thought I was being usurped. It's a big word. All right. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source Live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnered on Millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for tonight. We'll see you next week.